G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
But first, I want us to go to Bill Muhlenberg from Culture Watch. It's been a horrible week this week in Sydney. We've had not one but two knife attacks, stabbings, one in a shopping centre, the other in that Orthodox church on Monday night. And Bill, you've had several days like all of us to process these events. And what's been brewing over in your mind about them?
Thanks, Andrew. I've obviously prayed and thought about it all, written a few articles about it all. Well, a lot of things do arise, certainly with the attack on the bishop. The contrast between Islam and Christianity, right? Really, for 1,400 years, Islam is spread by the edge of the sword. In this case, on Monday night, it was a knife, but the same sort of thing. And then you saw the pictures of the bishop, right, holding a cross as he was trying to defend himself. So that really encapsulates fully, I think, the major differences between the two religions. One is based on the life and example of Muhammad, who did happily use the sword to conquer, whereas Christ and the cross was the way he conquered, through love, through forgiveness, through grace. So if nothing else, that Monday night attack certainly highlighted those differences. But yeah, other things in my articles I discussed were obviously the prayers that the bishop had for the attacker, how we should pray for him, how self-defense, properly understood, there is a place for it, and it's not the same as revenge or retaliation. So a lot of, certainly with the Monday night attack, a lot of issues did arise that Christians do need to think about.
Well, Bill, I'm glad you raised the prayers that the bishop prayed, and some of our listeners wouldn't have heard those prayers or read those prayers. Could you just give us a recap? What did he pray for this attacker?
Yeah, well, there's at least two. One was on the very night it happened, on Monday night. Well, assuming most of your listeners know what happened, holding a church service live streamed in Sydney, this teenage jihadist Muslim ran up to the front with a knife and started attacking him. So thankfully, the members of the church quickly rushed to his aid to protect him and subdued the attacker. But even that night, we were told that the bishop arose with all the wounds that he had received. He actually laid his hands on the head of the attacker, and he prayed for him then on the spot, right? Blood flowing, this whole thing captured on the media, and he prayed for him. And then, well, just yesterday, I think, from his hospital bed, he did release a statement, and it was really more of the same. He said, look, the way of Christ is not violence. It's not tit for tat, eye for eye. The way of Christ is to forgive, to love our enemies. So again, he said, I'm praying for the attacker. I have forgiven this guy who's attacked me, and I ask you to do the same. So again, real Christianity in action in terms of, you know, as we'll talk about in a moment, there is a place for self-defense. We're not saying we're all passive and allow anything to happen, but we can, as Christians, and should learn how to pray for those who've attacked us, seek to forgive and seek to reconcile, if possible. Well, pray that this young 16-year-old, in fact, comes to know Christ as a result of this horrible attack. So that was Christianity in action with this kind of forgiving prayer, this love that he showed for this kid. I mean, most of us, right, if we were attacked like this, I don't know if we'd be so quick and ready to forgive and say, I love you, man. But that's exactly what Bishop Emmanuel did. So interesting that all this has been played out in the secular media. So, you know, you could say maybe even God somehow is allowing all this so the whole world can see what Christianity in action looks like.
Yeah, you're right. What an amazing human being, and what a great demonstration of the Christian heart to Australian society. I believe some reports are indicating that the flick knife didn't open initially too, and God's hand may have been on that, that the young man wasn't able to stab him as many times as he was hoping, and so the bishop has survived. But just awful stuff. Now let's move on, because you want to talk about this whole concept of self-defense. We actually had a guest on 2020 yesterday who is a security expert, had a great conversation with Neil about this very topic, because he's trained churches and places of faith in Australia already on what to do in the event of a situation like this. But what are your thoughts on this, Bill?
Yeah, well, it's good that you did have him on. We've had many attacks in churches around the world. Well, obviously, in, say, Muslim or other dominated countries, that's kind of routine. But here I'm talking about the West, where increasingly we are seeing, whether it's an Islamic attack or just some deranged individual, whatever the reason, that's happening more and more. So what we saw on Monday night will be happening further. So to take steps ahead of time to deal with it, I think that's vitally crucial. That's the kind of world we now live in, sadly, that in addition to getting your songs ready for Sunday morning, getting the communion plate ready, whatever you do, now we have to get ready basic steps in security. So yeah, in both of my articles, I wrote quite a bit about this whole issue. Is there a place for self-defense? I think biblically there is. In both Old and New Testaments, we read about the right of self-defense, especially, you know, you might think, well, I'm going to just pray for my attacker. And if you want to do that, that's kind of the turning the other cheek that Jesus talked about. But clearly, well, things like Romans 13, God set up the state. Why? To protect innocent people from injustice of any kind, right? So if you're walking down the street with your wife and kids and some thugs come along, some would say you just kind of stand there and pray and do nothing. But I think the overall biblical testimony is we have a duty, in fact, to protect the innocent. So whether it's on the big scale, taking on a Hitler in a world war, or on a personal scale of defending your wife and children in an attack, or protecting your bishop at a church, I think we have biblical warrant to do it. Yeah. And it doesn't contradict what the bishop said, right? There's no place for hate and violence and eye for eye. But I'm sure he would be the first to thank his parishioners for saving his life. And secondly, that he would agree that, yeah, there is a place in a fallen world to defend the weak, the innocent. You know, that kind of talk is found throughout the Bible. So we need to make that distinction. Retaliation and revenge is ruled out in Scripture, but the ability to stand up for the weak and the defenseless, help them in an unjust attack or work of aggression, is something we can do in good faith, good conscience. So yeah, I spent a bit of time in my pieces trying to separate those two. And again, I'm thankful that these parishioners, you know, they leapt to his defense almost instantly as soon as they saw it happening. You know, if you had this idea, well, we'll call the police and wait for them. Well, come on, we know that, it could take a while before police get there. And by then, the bishop could have been dead. So, yeah, it's this trade-off. We live in a violent, fallen, sinful world here in Melbourne, probably Sydney, Brisbane. Home invasions and break-ins are just skyrocketing. You read horrible stories every day. So what does a woman living alone, finding herself broken into with men with machetes surrounding her, is there a place for her to somehow seek to defend herself? And, you know, it's big discussion there, right? Gun control, which we've had, even should we do knife control, right? Pepper spray is illegal in most Australian states. Maybe something like that even could help deter some of these mass attacks. So anyways, a lot of things for the Christian to think about. And it's good at least that security experts are getting in a word with churches, because we're going to need to learn a lot more in the days ahead.
Yeah, so true, Bill. And we did have a caller yesterday who sort of said, well, and he lived in a country town, and he sort of said, oh, well, we're just going to trust God to look after us. And I thought, well, my friend, I've lived in parts of Africa where people were murdered by another religion. You can probably guess which one. And they were murdering anyone that couldn't quote their book. And some of the people murdered were good pastors, good, strong Christians. I know one gentleman, as they were about to, you know, chop him to pieces with a machete, he just reached out and grabbed his Bible. They tried to remove his Bible, and he said, no, I'm not dying without my Bible. And he passed away in one of those attacks. And it's, I think Australia's been in a bubble for a long time. We've been immune to this stuff. But, you know, you're talking about self-defense. I think a great example of that is South Korea, when America and their NATO allies in the 50s defended South Korea against the North Korean invasion, because that was ultimately successful. And as you said, it wasn't a revenge attack. It wasn't an act of aggression by the NATO allies, but it was a defense of South Korea. From that time until now, the church has flourished in South Korea. And I think it's an example when, like you said, we defend ourselves and we protect ourselves, sometimes militarily or even physically, it actually allows the gospel to flourish. And your country, America, I think there were 2 million Americans based in Australia in World War II helping push the Japanese out of the Asia-Pacific region. If they had not done that, the Japanese were not going to allow the gospel to be preached throughout Asia. And so there's definitely historically a place for nations and individuals and groups to defend themselves and keep areas safe so that the gospel can flourish.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, this is another big issue, defensive warfare, you know, just war as it's called, but we can look at the Second World War, more of the same, right? A, if we hadn't come to the aid of Australians, you guys might be speaking Japanese now or German in other parts of the world, but B, well, as we know, Bonhoeffer, at first a pacifist, you know, didn't believe in any kind of violence. But in the end, he knew the evil, the injustice, the aggression of Hitler was so great, and what was happening to the Jews and other innocents was so evil. In the end, we know he became part of a plot to actually assassinate Hitler. He felt this was part of his Christian calling, to stand up for the weak, the innocent, the defenseless. For him, at least, it led him to get involved in this. Of course, he was arrested by the Gestapo and then killed. So he paid the price, quite literally, in this idea there is a role for defense or defending others against unjust aggression. So, yeah, a lot of big topics arise here, but as you say, more and more on the individual level here in Australia. Churches being attacked, or you're walking down the street and a group of thugs approach you. Again, do you just stand and pray? And maybe some Christians might feel called to do that, but again, especially if you have loved ones, children, you know, I think a good parent, a good Christian parent, would want to do all he could to protect those innocent children. So big issues, been debated for centuries, but certainly they all come up again after what happened on Monday night.
Absolutely. And I saw in the media today that police have been at the bedside of the attacker, and he will be charged. He's only a teenager.
Yep. Yeah.
And this, I believe, is a bit of a litmus test for the Australian judicial system. What sort of a sentence will this guy be given? I hope and pray it's very, very, very long, and he has many, 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 many years in prison to reflect, and as you said, maybe even to repent for his actions, because I think we need to send out a very strong message, don't we, that this will not be tolerated in Australia?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And two things come to mind right away, right? What if, say, this were a Christian who attacked an imam in a mosque, right? How would that play out in the media? In fact, just the last day or two in things like the Melbourne Age, Sydney Morning Herald, guess what they were saying? No surprise, but hey, maybe the bishop brought this on. He was being inflammatory. He was being, you know, he wasn't kind to Islam. He taught biblical truth on homosexuality. He wasn't a fan of the COVID lockdowns, right? So on all these fronts, who became the aggressor, a lot of the media, the secular media, was actually saying the bishop was at fault. They weren't condemning the attacker, they were condemning him. So as I say, turn it around and see a Christian, you know, for whatever reason, going into a mosque and doing something similar. Boy, we'd still be hearing it today. See, this proves it. Christianity is evil. We should ban Christianity. We should have no more, you know, this is just the double standards of the secular left media. And that's part of the battle we have to fight. You know, we have to speak truth. We have to pray for the media. And, well, that's why Culture Watch exists. If you're not going to get a balanced account of much of the news, well, I'll try to give it. That's why Light FM 2020, that's why you guys exist. We need to get the other side of the story you often just do not hear on the lamestream media.
The lamestream media. Well, you're right, because even, I mean, let's go beyond Australia's shores. The attack on Israel over the weekend, I think 300... Yep. Drones and ballistic missiles fired at a sovereign nation. And the fact that the world and many commentators in the world's media are trying to say to Israel, oh, don't retaliate, don't fight back. And imagine if Germany had copped 300 ballistic missiles and drones from France over the weekend. I don't think the world would be telling the Germans, well, maybe I shouldn't pick on the Germans, maybe it should be the other way around. Let's pretend France had copped those missiles from Germany. I don't think the world would be saying to France, oh, don't retaliate, because, you know, we can maybe talk about this a little bit further. I mean, we all know what the answer would be, and it's such hypocrisy, isn't it, that, as you said, Jews and Christians are really judged with a different standard.
Absolutely, and you're quite right on that. Any other nation in the world, if it were attacked in the same way as Israel was, they would not only affirm fully their right to self-defense and their right to go and take out the aggressors, but much of the world would agree with them. Yeah, of course. But when it comes to Israel, then all of a sudden, oh, no, no, lay down your arms. Don't be retaliatory. Don't, you know, leave Iran alone, even though it's working on its nuclear program. And once that fully gets developed, boy, that is going to be trouble in the Middle East. So thankfully now, a lot of these missiles and drones didn't do very well. Also thankful to the Iron Dome that Israel has, and we might say the hand of God altogether, that really did protect him in that recent strike. But no other country would put up with this nonsense about, oh, just, you know, just relax and don't get too carried away here in your response. Every nation would, I think rightly, want to defend themselves and, if possible, take out the aggressor from doing more of this. So, yeah, that's the world we live in as well. A lot of double standards. And so whether it's a Christian bishop attacked or whether it's Israel being threatened by its 22 hostile Arab nations that live right around it, it's a tough world to be in, and we need to pray a whole lot more, as the bishop said.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's such a spiritual dimension to this, isn't there? And I think the Australian, you call them the lamestream, I'll call them the mainstream media, and many of our political leaders, they don't understand that many of these attacks and these actions are not just motivated by the desire for real estate or because of an argument and words that were said. There is a spiritual dimension to this. And this is not just a natural battle, is it, Bill? This is a spiritual battle that we're all involved in as believers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, the spiritual war in the heavenlies, it manifests itself, whether in a knife attack on a bishop or rockets into Israel, you name it. You know, there's political, cultural, social arenas in which this is being fought out on. But as you say, rightly, it all begins with this spiritual war. There are two powers that be, God and Satan, and you know, his work is on a leash and his time will come to an end. But in the meantime, he's got a pretty good run on planet Earth, and he's bringing a lot of this to bear on, you know, just read the daily newspaper headlines. So we have to stand politically, socially, you know, support the police. And by the way, the bishop, of course, said, you know, we shouldn't have attacked the police on Monday night. And, you know, that was a wrong way to respond. But there is a place for, you know, defense on various levels. But ultimately, the Christian knows where it all springs from. It's the spiritual war. We got to pray more like ever. because this will intensify in the days ahead. So we need to be wise, need to be prayerful. Yes, we love our enemies, pray for them to come to Christ, but we don't be naive and gullible either with what's happening in the world around us.
Amen. Well said, Bill. And I think latest reports from Open Doors in this year, 2024, 1 in 7 Christians around the world will suffer fairly serious persecution. So persecution is definitely ramping up. The spiritual war is ramping up. And well said, we need to pray. Bill, I could talk to you all day about this. Fascinating topics and so current. But if anyone wants to get involved in what Bill does or read his blogs, I would encourage you go to his website, which is BillMuhlenberg.com. Now, Muhlenberg is spelled M-U-E-H-L-E-N-B-E-R-G. That's BillMuhlenberg.com. You can subscribe to his blog, which is excellent, and just keep up to date with his thoughts and his feelings and his words and journals on current events. Bill, as always from Culture Watch, thank you so much for your time and for joining us on 2020 Today.
Many thanks again.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.